Okay, hi. Merry Christmas to everybody, by the way, in case we don't get to talk to you later. I have been learning over some years, obviously, to pay attention to the Holy Spirit, because he speaks in just amazing ways, and you can easily not hear him, because it almost sounds like background noise or chaos or even your own voice, you know. But I've been training myself to pay attention to his prompts, and because it's usually there's something important that he wants to speak, a direction or a blessing to impart or something like that. And so anyway, a couple of weeks ago, if you remember, I shared with you that I woke up one morning and I was like feeling very anxious about stuff, and it was really, I wasn't even thinking about anything in particular. I was just, anxiety was all over me, and it was, you know, it was overcoming. So I did what I always tell you guys to do. And you remember what it is? It's Psalm 12:1. Remember what that says? Anybody? Help! It's amazing how a small word like that, when it's directed at God, can really bring just a flow of his presence and instruction. So last week, I say all this to say that last week, Pastor Marie was speaking, and she used a lot of different scriptures. She was speaking about Jesus and being joy. And one of the scriptures she spoke from was Psalm 94. And for some reason, when she spoke that scripture, it jumped out at me. So all week, I've been thinking about Psalm 94 and reading Psalm 94 and looking at Psalm 94. And sure enough, God was wanting to speak to me about something in Psalm 94 to share with you guys today as we celebrate Jesus as our peace. So let me read this one portion of scripture here. It's Psalm 94, 18 and 19 from the Passion Bible. It says this. Now remember what I said, right? Psalm 12, 1, help. Scream out, help. Say it with me. Help. Okay. So Psalm 94 says this. When I screamed out, Lord, I'm doomed. Your fiery love was stirred, and you raced to my rescue. Anybody need God to race to your rescue? I certainly did. I don't like feeling anxious like that. And then it says, when my busy thoughts were out of control. Anybody's thoughts ever get out of control? Okay. When my busy thoughts were out of control, the soothing comfort of your presence calmed me down and overwhelmed me with delight. Overwhelmed me with delight and calmed me down because my busy thoughts were out of control. That's where the battle is for us. You know, the battle is always in our mind. It's always about the thoughts. You know, God is always the same. He's always staying the same. The graces that he releases are always the same. You don't earn it. You know, he's just good. He does it. But if our mind is not tuned in to that channel, we can't receive what he's saying. That's why it's important to pay attention and to obey the prompts as God starts to speak to us, because he wants to release something to us. And he was wanting to release, not just to me, but to you also, this this message about coming into that place and paying attention to God so that we can actually feel his presence come, because it's in his presence that our thoughts get calmed down and we get overwhelmed with joy. So it's really important to hear the Spirit's voice, not just when we're feeling terrible, of course that's always the best, but in general, because God wants to speak in a way that will always give us direction. So a lot of times he will speak something to us ahead of time prophetically, like a foretelling, so that we can know how to avoid or circumnavigate whatever situation that might come up. And we can actually avoid having to enter into the conflict that would take over our mind. This is especially important in chaotic times. You know, times when our thoughts can easily get out of control. You know, for me, that's a lot of times. So, I don't know. Of course, I'd like to avoid those times, but that is like impossible. So it's always going to happen. But I can prepare myself if I'm tuning into the channel. Now, you don't have to be like a monk and be tuned into the channel, like, you know, every moment of every day. But if we can learn the technique, we can actually hear God in everything that we're doing. And so when the Holy Spirit wants to prompt us on something, even as we're going through our normal day, we can hear him, we hear his voice, and we can then, you know, then and respond. So when things get chaotic and we take that time, what can happen is we can become calm in the midst. Why? Because we can sense his presence. When you sense God's presence, in his presence is fullness of joy, it says, right? Or in his presence, all things become possible. And sensing that presence allows us to enter into it and then to enjoy the fruit of it. So this is not easy, but it's this very act that brings us to the peace that that Christ is. See, Jesus doesn't just bring us peace. The scripture literally says he is our peace. He is our peace. So not Jesus the person, but the Christ that's within us becomes the peace that we can enter in if we're paying attention. Does that make sense? And you know what? It takes practice to do this. So you're not going to just, oh, I heard him and I'm going to just do it. You got to practice. And it's just like any other discipline that you might have ever encountered, whether it's dance or music or sports, business or whatever it might be. As you practice it, as you put it into practice, I should say, you get better at it. It just makes sense, right? In spiritual things, it's called the journey of faith. And we talked about finding the ancient path. So the ancient path is that journey of faith that we get by choosing, because every day we got like lots of choices, right? So we can choose what we call the aliyah, which is the ascent up to God. We can choose to stay the same, or we can choose the downward spiral, which brings us fear and all the negative things, you know. So I would say that's not a good choice, but sometimes we do that. And if we do, the scripture promises that we will find peace for our soul. If you look at Jeremiah 6:16, when you choose the ancient path, you find it, you choose it, it says that you find rest for the for your soul that you've been looking for. Now, we all need that. That's the peace of God that passes understanding. See, because within that peace, we will be able to not just endure, but overcome every situation that comes up. See, because you're not going to avoid, in this life, we will have tribulation. There'll always be things that come up, but we'll be equipped to not be overcome by those things, but to overcome them and to actually use them. A scripture that we've used plenty of times, I want to read it again. It's Psalm 84, 5-9. It says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on a pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca," Baca means weeping, as you pass through this time of weeping, but notice you're passing through it. You're not staying in the valley of weeping. You're passing through. "As they pass through the valley of Baca," which is the hard, the chaotic, the unpleasant things, they make it a spring. Notice it's not made a spring for them. They make it a spring. The very act of walking or committing to this path of going through and passing through this valley, that act is what turns what would be negative into a spring. And then it says that it's the rain comes and waters it and covers it with pools. The rain is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, and pools is a symbol of blessing, the water of the Holy Spirit, the blessing. And then it says that they go from strength to strength, or what we've been talking about, step by step by step by step, the aliyah. And then if we take the aliyah, the ascending steps, the final line is, each one will appear before God in Zion. Zion is the holy mountain. All symbolism. You get this? We commit to the path. We find the ancient path. We choose to walk it. We pass through the weeping that comes, that's inevitable in life. But we make it a strength because we've made the choice to continue the journey. We've set our heart, or what's important to us, on this pilgrimage, this journey. They make it a spring. The very act of doing it, committing to it, transforms what would be negative into something positive that actually causes us to come into the presence of God if we stay with it. With each ascending step, we become more and more open. Each ascending step makes us more aware of God's presence. And it's in God's presence that all things then become possible, right? We just read that just before. And it's in God's presence, each step that we take towards Him, the blessings start to flow and we become aware of them and we become able to walk in them until every day and eventually our minds or the way that we perceive reality are transformed. And we take on His mind and we become renewed. So last week, I was, you know, as I was thinking about all of this, and last week I felt the Lord give me a word of wisdom. We talked about getting words of wisdom and stuff. It's understanding how God does stuff and then being able to apply them, apply these things in your life. And the word of wisdom was this. He said to me, hey, remember, you have the mind of Christ. I said, yeah. He said, well, Jesus' mind allowed him to peer into the heavenlies. Because you remember, we've spoke about Jesus didn't live His life logically. He didn't do it by the logic of men. He did it optically. In other words, what He saw the Father does. He said, the Son of Man does nothing but on His own, only what He sees His Father do. So Jesus lived optically. That same mind that saw and lived optically, saw into the heavenlies and lived optically, lives in you and I, in every believer. We have to choose, as we take these ascending steps, to access it, to access that mind. In order to do that, it's going to mean turning away or repenting from the things that are just getting, you know, are roaring at us, choking us. It's not easy to do that. I understand that. But we do it by practice each day. Situations come up. We have a choice. Am I going to believe the roar of this lion, even what Dave read? Am I going to give the devil cordon? Because if I do, then he has power. If I stand, he runs in fear. So he's not running from you, but he's running from another lion. The Lion of Judah, who lives in you and me. We have the mind of Christ, the Lord said. You have the mind of Christ. So view the heavenly realms. And then speak into this earth. Speak into your circumstance what you're seeing. It doesn't matter. You don't have to believe it. Just see it and speak it. And as we do it, we become in line with the testimony of Jesus. And that's what prophecy is, right? We prophesy. Jesus was able to see into the heavenly realm, speak it. That was His testimony, which the Scripture says is the spirit of prophecy. If we have the mind of Christ, we're able to do the same thing. But we have to practice it. Is this making sense? In this way, you can create your own reality. Because it doesn't matter what's going on around you. It depends on how you see it. So this comes from Romans 12:2. It says this, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The word conform there means, it comes from a root word that means scheme or schematic. So what God is saying here is, don't take on the model of the world. Don't use the schematic of the natural mind. Don't let that be the mode of the way that you live your life. Don't let it be the way that you see things and believe things. Because when you see things and believe things in that mode, you will live that reality. He said, take on Christ's testimony and prophesy. Prophesy my will into your life and into the world. And watch things change. I don't know if you believe that this can happen. But I'm challenging you to begin doing it. Begin doing it. You don't have to start believing it. All you have to do is do it. And if we can do that, we will start to recreate what's in heaven on earth. And that's what the church is supposed to be about. The church is not just about supposed to be about an organization singing songs and getting together and doing earthly works. That's part of it. But ultimately, the church is supposed to be a church of power that recreates the power of Christ into the earth to bring restoration, which is what we're supposed to be here, Restoration Christian Fellowship, to things that are broken, lives that are broken, institutions that are broken. There's so much pain in the world, gang. The world needs people who believe, faith-filled believers, to go and to prophesy into their lives, life. I mean, we all have a choice. Do we want to stay the same? Do we want to just play church? Or do we want to actually become the recreation of the Christ mind on earth? And he's given us the power to do that. God said, this is the very thing that I'm training you for. I'm training you to see with Christ's mind and to recreate what you see. This was a direct word from the Lord to me, and I'm sharing it with you. Psalm 94 again, going back to Psalm 94, because I was really in it all week, and this time it was from the Message Bible, just as an encouragement from the Message Bible. Psalm 94, verses 12 and 13 says this: how blessed is the man that you train, God. See, it's not a task that's to be avoided. It's a blessing when God trains us in a particular way. He says, how blessed is the man that you train. How the woman that you instruct in your word is blessed. And this is what he says. While I'm training you, it says, you provide, meaning God, provides a circle of quiet within the chaos of evil, while a jail is being built for the wicked.
Hallelujah.
How do you like that? The Lord provides a circle of quiet in the midst of the chaos, within the chaos of evil, while in the meantime he's building a jail for the wicked. So in my dedicated time, I really encourage you to take a few minutes each day. It doesn't have to be forever. I know you have busy lives. But take some dedicated time where you're going away, where you're not hearing, you know, chaos, where you can just spend the time with the Lord. And you could really do it anywhere. You don't have to do it in church. You can do it anywhere. But the dedicated time, I saw myself entering this circle of quiet. I projected myself into this circle of quiet because it was more than just being orally quiet, you know, the sound of the earth, but it was the quiet of my soul. I entered into the circle of the quietness that God provides for my soul.
Amen.
And I received Jesus there as my peace. I receive him as my peace, as that very quietness. Because it's only in that place where the quiet, where the chaos of the world gets silenced, that I'm able to hear the voice of the Spirit clearly. It's only going to be in that place. And when you can hear the voice of the Spirit, he will speak to you about things that are unseen, that are not naturally seen. And when you hear the voice of the Spirit, it will ring inside of you, and then you speak what's unseen, and then you watch it become a reality in your life. So if there's illness in your life, if there's turmoil in your life, begin by taking a step back into the circle of quiet. You got to practice it, because you're not going to be able to do it immediately. I'll tell you that much right now. You got to practice. You got to do it every day and be faithful to do it, and God will start releasing to you visions of the unseen, which you will then prophetically speak and watch get created here on the earth. So anyway, as I did this, the Lord spoke this word to me through the Holy Spirit, and the word I heard was estrangement. Estrangement. And you know what? It wasn't the first time I heard this word, estrangement. It always makes me kind of nervous. Estrangement means this. It means alienation, enmity, or indifference, where there was previously love, affection, and faithfulness, and friendliness. So my mind immediately, my natural mind immediately went to blaming social media and all the junk that's going on. And the Lord corrected me. He said, no, social media is not the cause. It fuels it, but it's not the cause of it. It doesn't cause estrangement. It fuels estrangement. And then it reminded me, the Lord reminded me of something that Jesus said. He said, this is where the estrangement comes. So Luke 6, he says, a good man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth will speak. The estrangement that's being spoken, the division, the bitterness and the vitriol that we're sensing that comes out not only out of people's mouths but permeates the atmosphere that we live in, affects you whether you hear it directly or not. We can stand against it by taking a step back into the circle of quiet. And we're exhorted in Proverbs 4. He said, keep your heart with diligence. Why? Because your heart is what matters to you. It says, keep it with diligence, for out of your heart, out of it springs the issues of your life. So if there are issues in your life that you're not happy with, it probably means you're not keeping your heart diligently enough. And how you do that is you soak it. You soak it in the blessings that come from worship, from the things that are from above and not from the earth. But again, these are not easy things. These are things that you have to be intentional about, diligent about. See, there's a clamor of evil in the atmosphere. A clamor of division like there's never been in the earth. We sang a song earlier today, For a Child Has Been Born. I don't know if you saw the words or heard the words. That comes right directly from Scripture. That's a prophecy that Jesus spoke about, I believe, that we're starting to see take place in these times. But the promise is that a child has been given to us, a son. And on his shoulders will lie the government. Prince of Peace, Counselor, Mighty God. That's the promise. That's the focus. We have to stay focused on that. And not the clamor of evil. Now, man in his natural wisdom has tried to legislate away a lot of this division, you know, by setting up laws and rules and regulations. You can't say this, you can't do that. You got to use these pronouns and and all that. But for the most part, that's really not worked. It's a valiant effort, but it doesn't work. And in a lot of cases, it really causes more division. Because if other people don't remember to do it, and then somebody else gets offended, and so you got this whole deal going on. See, the ways of man, the logical ways of man, will never be able to combat and overcome the things of the Spirit. It's only the Spirit that can do it. And why does this not work? Because, see, these rules and regulations that man wants to put in want to treat the symptoms. But these are just symptoms. The vitriol that you hear and the chaos that you hear is a symbol of the expression of people's hearts. People's hearts are not right. There's an estrangement in people's hearts, and that's what's being spoken. You getting what I'm saying? So I asked the man about this. He said, look, I asked the Lord about it, and the Lord said, look, it's because the root, the symptoms are being or trying to be taken care of, but the root is not being taken care of, and the root is that man is estranged from me. We're estranged from God. And you know what? Even the most religious approaches that we've taken, when it comes through our soul's way of doing stuff, our own mind, because your mind is part of your soul, your intellect, even the most religious, when it comes through that, actually causes more estrangement. Because I do it this way, this church does it that way, these people do it this way, and then who's right? Then there's always this estrangement between even the sects of Christianity. I forgot the last count how many there were. I think it was like 2,200 different branches. 2,200, really? Something like that, of Christianity, each with their own little take on what it means to be a Christian. It shouldn't be that difficult. And when it is that way, when people insist on defining God in their own image, because that's basically what we're doing, when that happens, the result is disaffection, estrangement, where there used to be unfettered love. And so now there's a separateness. There's a separateness from one another, and then a separateness from God. And that's a division. And when you have division, division dams up the life-giving flow of grace, because your focus is not on receiving from above. Your focus is on what's going on over here. I'm right, they're wrong, blah, 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 and there's all this back and forth. My way is the way, right way. My way is the right. No. And we need that grace if we're going to be reunified with the love of God. You know, 1 John 4 says, we love him because he first loved us. If we're not receiving that grace of his love, how are we going to love God? If we're not loving God, there's no chance that we're going to be loving each other. And so more estrangement, more division. But the hope is this. I mean, Ephesians 2 tells us that he, meaning Jesus, is our peace, who has broken down every wall of division. And that means division, prejudices, differences, all of that. In Jesus Christ, we can be one. So it's important for those of us who have received the gospel to trust its promises and to walk in faith and not to try to reason them out first. You're not going to reason them out. The things of God are beyond your reason. They're things that you just need to receive. You need to receive them. And if you don't know how to receive them, all you have to do is say, help. Help. And we read it. When you say help, when I cried out, I'm doomed. He can't. His fiery love comes rushing in, it says, right? That's why it's so important to know what the Word of God says. See, it's not a religious thing. It's an instruction. Okay, well, I feel this way, Lord. Well, okay, well, this is the answer to it. If you don't know how to do that, well, you have leaders in your church. And eventually, if you are diligent to really look yourself, you will be, you know, we can point you to these scriptures, and you could sit with the Holy Spirit and let him speak them to you, and you develop a way of reading and being with God that will actually allow you to hear his voice in every situation that comes up. Because he's forever present. He's forever for us. And he wants us. But it takes us to set our hearts on a pilgrimage. We have to say, I'm doing this. I don't know where it is. I don't know how to get there. I'm not sure exactly. I feel confused. I feel overwhelmed. But I'm doing it. And if you do it, if you do that, that's good enough. Because he will enable us to develop more mature eyes of faith that'll help us to see past our circumstances and the emotions that rise out from those circumstances. We'll be able to see past them. And this is specifically important to those of you who relate to this church, to Restoration Christian Fellowship, because our mandate, you know, when a church is built, hopefully, it's not just for a man's purpose. Hopefully they receive the word from God and said, this is your purpose. And then the church moves along with that vision. For our mandate, the fundamental word that we received was Isaiah 58:12. It said that we would be reconcilers, we would be restorers, reconcilers of division, restorers of broken people and broken things. And then it says restorers of paths to dwell in, paths to dwell in. And it just struck me this week, past the dwelling, speak about the ancient paths. The ancient path is the way to God, the ascending toward God. Wow. Now, you know, guaranteed, when you say, okay, I'm gonna search for this path and I'm going to commit myself to following, there's going to be an uproar that comes against you from the world and from the enemy. And all the circumstances will discourage you. And it'll even be your family or things that seem good that come up and put a wall up between you to stop you from doing it. It'll seem like a roar and it'll seem like you won't be able to overcome it. But like I said before, we have another one who is roaring. That's right. The Lion of Judah, Jesus. And faith having faith in his power will tell us, despite what's going on around us, we are safe and we can be at peace. You know, Romans 5:1 says, therefore, we, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what this means. Jesus is that reconciliation. He is our peace. He's the bridge, right? We've been talking about bridge, right? Excuse me. He's the bridge over the estrangement. You know, in the famous scripture, you know, Jesus, they're talking to him in John 14. And he tells them that he's the way, the truth, and the life. And that becomes his testimony. He's testifying this. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, you know. He is the truth about God. Therefore, he is the way to life in God. He's the reconciliation or the estrangement so that we can see past this level and into the oneness of God. You know, the Shema Yisrael is the foundation scripture for all of Israel, was back then and still is. It's called Shema Yisrael. It's Deuteronomy 6:4. Remember what it says? Hear, O Israel. Right, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. The Lord is one. In God, there is no division. There is no estrangement. So Jesus told his disciples that if they believed this truth about him, that he's the way, the truth, and life, that truth would be able to take them, excuse me, into a whole new realm of reality. And in that same chapter there, Philip says to Jesus, well, Lord, can we see the Father? And Jesus says to him, remember what he said? If you see me, you see the Father. So what does the Father look like? If you see me, you see the Father. Well, 1 John says that God is love. So Jesus was saying, if you believe in me, believe in love. Love is the way. Love is the way to life in God, in the Father. But it's not this like sappy love. It's not emotional love. It's the love that sacrifices its own way of seeing things for the hope of oneness. It's the love that allows us to go past estrangement and division, to prefer one another, to take a step back, to be gracious. Now, it all sounds good. Yeah, well, we believe in love. God bless you. Blah, blah, blah. But there's a caveat. To embrace love at this level is going to cost something. The first thing it costs is love makes you vulnerable. When you're vulnerable to love, you become vulnerable to everything. When you're vulnerable, it makes you open to pain. And who wants that? So that's right. So what happens is when you say, oh, I'm open to love, I'm open to be vulnerable, you could be, it makes most people fearful. No, I'm not going to love. I'm going to hold, you know, I'm going to build my little castle here. And so that's what we're seeing. So much fear that people are just holding on to whatever little castle that they've built. Excuse me a second. I'm going to drink. It's going to cost to get past that. To risk love. You know, David, King David was afraid as well. He said, be merciful to me, O God, for man wants to swallow me up. Fighting all day long, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day long. For there are many who fight against me, Almighty God. But whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Now, David was fighting flesh and blood men. We are not fighting flesh and blood men, even though we may be arguing with people. We're fighting powers and principalities of darkness and evil. Okay, so what do? Well, Paul gives us an elixir. Excuse me, in Philippians 4, he said this: when you're feeling that way, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your graciousness, or your gentleness, your graciousness be known to all men. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. In other words, the Lord is right here. You can be gracious to others and avoid division because the bridge over the breach is present. You can do it. In that same chapter, I'm sorry, something in this room. In that same chapter, in verse 6, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses your understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And then later on in verse 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can do all things through Christ. Thanks, Steve. Oh, you got one? Okay. Yeah. I got it. Paul's here. Thank you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not by my own achievement, but by my willingness to allow Christ's power to sustain me in whatever difficulty that I'm going through. See, it's not so much that I can do all things. I can do it. Through my understanding, I can do it by allowing Christ to flow through me. See, it's by Christ's power that our hearts, because it says it guards our hearts and our minds. It's Christ's power that will guard your heart. What's most important to you? Whatever it might be that's most important to you, Christ's power will guard it if you're not anxious. If you pray and offer thanksgiving, if you follow this little thing, it can bring you to the place where your heart and your mind, the way that you perceive reality, are guarded by God so that you see in a different way. And when that happens, it's the path to oneness. Because now you're not depending on yourself or your own, you know, take on reality. You're back in oneness with God. It's having faith that our vulnerabilities will be guarded and that we will be safe so we can risk love. It's the only thing that's going to bring it together. And you know what? It's the only thing that God is going to judge. When Jesus returns, it's not going to be so much how big the church you were in, how many people did you lead to the Lord, how many people, you know, did you feed on the street. It's not going to be that. Those things are all going to be secondary. What he's going to ask each individual is, how well did you love? How much risk of love did you take because you trusted in me? I don't think it's going to be one or the other. I think there will be variations of that, you know, variegated way that will be weighed. Anyway, I'm almost finished, but I wanted to share something interesting with you. You know, some of you know that I was reading this book by Jonathan Cahn called The Book of Mysteries. A very interesting book. And you could read it simply, I mean, each day it has a different mystery, and you can just read that one page. It's got scriptures on the bottom. It's really, really excellent. Hope you enjoy it, Johnny. And Gab, I hope you get a chance to read it as well. There's a lot of wisdom in it. It really has been beautiful. So, but I wanted to share something with you out of it that spoke to me and spoke to this message, and I hope that you can hear what I'm trying to get at here. In Israel, according to the Book of Mysteries, there was a place called Kfar Nachim. Kfar could mean, village, a village. And Nachum is a form of the name, the Hebrew name Nahum, who was a prophet, Nahum. So Kfar Nachum could mean the village of the prophet Nahum. Kfar could also mean shelter. And it comes from this root word, kfar, kfar, meaning atonement, reconciliation, mercy, and forgiveness. Okay? And then Nachum means comfort and consolation. So when you put the two together, you could understand kfar Nachum as meaning the village of comfort, the shelter of consolation, which is the consoling of God's mercy and the comfort of his forgiveness and reconciliation. Why is this important? Well, in Jesus' time, Kfar Nachum became Capernaum. Capernaum. When you put those together, that's Capernaum. Capernaum. Capernaum is the place where Jesus actually did most of his ministry. It's the village of comfort where he healed the sick, where he gave forgiveness of sins, where he received the rejected, and he made the broken whole. Kfar Nachum, the comfort of his mercy. Nachum is linked also to repentance, which means that in order to receive it, we need to turn. Repentance just means that. It doesn't mean being sorry. It just means turning. Turning away from the natural way that we look at things, and turning to God, who wants to give us eyes to see in a different realm. A choosing. A turning, a choosing. And when we turn to him and receive him, he's there in Capernaum for us. And so we can enter the shelter of his mercy, the circle of his quietness. And we can receive his person as our peace in that place. Because it's within that shelter that he releases his healing and he releases his forgiveness and takes the broken and makes it whole. Jesus is still active on the earth today. The Spirit of Christ is from everlasting to everlasting. He's still active. But we have to choose to enter it. For me, one of my scriptures, my go-to scriptures, and some of you know this, is Isaiah 26:3. For he will keep me in perfect peace when my mind is fixed on him. Why? Because I trust him. And I can give you a testimony that he has actually kept me in that perfect peace. Times when it was unfathomable that I could be in peace because of what was going on, what I was even suffering. But I was in absolutely perfect peace in these times, and God's word was so true. When we make a choice to do something like that and God proves himself true, it becomes one of those steps of ascension. Because there's moving up to God, but there's a blessing that's received as well, and it was manifest. It was a tangible blessing. I'm going to leave you with this scripture. It's Psalm 27:5-6 out of the Passion. Please receive this. In his shelter, in the day of trouble, that's where you'll find me. For he hides me in his holiness. He has smuggled me into his secret place where I'm kept safe and secure and out of reach from all of my enemies. Psalm 27. In the day of trouble, that's where you'll find me. Hopefully, that's where we'll find you and we'll see each other there. Because that, to me, is what I'd call peace beyond my understanding. Amen? Why don't you pray? I hope you got something out of that. Why don't you pray? Why don't you stand and let me pray with you. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are our peace that has broken down every wall of division. And that division is not just among ourselves, not just between us and God, but even in our own minds, Lord, our minds are at war with ourselves. And so, God, I just pray for every part of my mind and the parts of the minds of my brothers and sisters here that there's a battle going on, that they would take the step back into the circle of quiet and hear your voice, Lord, and find their way out and trust what they're hearing and speak it over themselves and into the world, that your light would come and overcome the darkness. And so we thank you, God. We have great expectation for what you're going to be bringing up in this new year, and we thank you for it. Bless all, Lord, and bless all the holiday plans, meetings with family. Let them be the light, God. Let them be the light. Give them wisdom. I pray in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you.